97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy you're with us on a Monday morning, the 11th day of August. I am happy to be back from my week of vacation, a little rest and relaxation, and ready to get going again. And I was just happy, Kim, to come back and realize, I mean, did I miss any further indictments against Sam Page while I was gone?
No further indictments. Nope. Just the Clintons being subpoenaed.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know if Sam Page had gotten in any more trouble while I was gone or not. But here's the deal. He is, of course, the current county executive. And tonight there's going to be a big announcement at around 6 o'clock, officially kicking off the campaign for current council member Dennis Hancock, who's on the phone with me right now. And Dennis, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me, and welcome back from vacation.
Well, thank you. Looking forward to that, and ready to go tonight, because I'm going to help you kind of MC and kick things off out there at Helen Fitzgerald's tonight at 6 o'clock.
That's right. We announced a few months ago that we were going to be running, and tonight we start the take the first step on a journey of 1,000 miles, and we will hopefully we'll have a good crowd there. I think we're going to have a lot to talk about, and I think that people are going to like what I have to say.
Yeah, well, I mean, they say timing's everything. I mean, the last week or two have not been good news for the Page administration, but the problems related to Sam Page go back so many more years than that. I couldn't believe when he got reelected the last time. Looks like now he's going to face some primary competition for this race this year. So I guess we don't know 100% for sure that Page will even be your opponent in this race.
Well, we're going to run against whoever the Democrats decide to put up. And I think, you know, my experience is we run a campaign based on what we are going to do and worry about my messaging and worry about my record. And we'll let the Democrats worry about theirs.
Yeah.
And I'll put mine up against any names I've seen so far.
So what will you do? Because sadly, we've seen over the last number of years, St. Louis County has gone from more on the red side to kind of purplish to, in many cases, blue. How do you appeal to those voters as we've seen a shift?
Well, what I've noticed, Kim, is that over the last several years, there are a growing number of what I refer to as disaffected Democrats who are tired of watching their party leaders and the corruption that they bring to the table, and they're tired of watching their party move farther and farther to the left. And they need a home. And I'm reaching my arms out to them and saying, come over here and talk to us. We have similar messages. We have similar belief systems and similar philosophies. So let's see where we can find some common ground with those folks and get them on our side.
Yeah, we're talking to County Councilman Dennis Hancock, kicking off his campaign tonight for the Republican nomination for St. Louis County Executive. And Dennis, I mean, I think it's worth pointing out here that between you and Mark Harder, Mike Archer, you guys have developed a pretty good working relationship with a couple of the other Democrat members of County Council. I mean, there's been a lot of cooperation there because it's sort of been a united front, it seems, against the aggressive stance of the Page administration on some key issues.
Well, and I think that's exactly right, Mark, and that kind of goes to what I was just saying. I think that, you know, when you look at those folks, their value systems are not that different than ours. You know, there are always going to be things we're not going to agree on. But on about 95% of the things we do agree on. And we all understand that we have to get our fiscal house in order in the county. We can't keep spending at a deficit and expect to maintain services. We all get calls when the streets don't get plowed in the wintertime. We all get calls about potholes that don't get fixed. And we all get calls when there's a big announcement about a company shutting down or even small companies shutting down and losing jobs. And so we all worry about those same things and how are we going to get there. And so what we find is that, you know, the six of us on the council that tend to agree on these issues, and we work together to try to come up with good solutions.
Yeah,
that works for everybody.
That's a good point. There may be people, I would imagine, listening to us, Dennis, who don't remember that you served 12 years as Mayor Fenton.
That's correct, from 2001 to 2013. And probably one of the biggest highlights of that time was in 2006 when the State Department of Economic Development published a survey that showed that the city of Fenton had more full-time jobs per resident than any city in the state of Missouri. That's a number I'm very proud of, and it's one that an experience that I can bring to this county executive's office, because the big thing we have to do is stop the flow of jobs to other parts of the region and out of St. Louis County.
Well, I look forward to a refreshing approach to government in St. Louis County. It just seems like there's so much secrecy and trying to evade accountability by Sam Page. Hearing the name Stinger and now the name Page, hopefully people are going to remember that those two things are connected and that there's an opportunity here for a new direction.
Yeah, I don't think people want to hear the adjective indicted in front of the name of their county executive anymore. And that's the one thing that I've managed to do throughout my whole career in politics is avoid those types of scandals and to make sure that I put the needs of the people first. And that's the plan I have for going into this race, and the message that I hope to get out is that this county belongs to the residents of the county. It doesn't belong to the politicians. And we have the privilege and the responsibility to do the best job we can to make sure that we do everything for them to make their lives better, make their sure that their kids have a great place to live and work, and you know that they want to stay here when they grow up.
Quick question related to Prop B, because obviously that's what the mm-hmm. Sam Page indictment centers around, was he was trying to push back on council being able to essentially get rid of some of these department heads that he had put in those positions who were doing terrible at their job. Let's just say you were to win as county executive. Would you support Prop B? Because you did support Prop B, right? It just didn't pass.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Kim. And, you know, if that's what the council feels like they need to do, then yeah, I don't see any reason not to support it. And if I supported it as a member of the council, I'm going to support it as a member, as a county executive.
Sure.
I would hope, though, that I would be doing my job as county executive and not have to worry about the council doing something like that.
Yeah, it's a good point. Well, this is open to the public tonight, right, at 6 o'clock?
It is. The doors open at 6, and we hope to see everybody there.
Yeah, it'll be at Helen Fitzgerald's, of course, down there on South Lindbergh, near Lindbergh and Watson, if you want to show up tonight. And I'm going to be there, and we'll be kicking this thing off and wishing Dennis the best of luck. Dennis Hancock, thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you.
Absolutely. I will see you tonight. Yeah, I anything I can do, I told Dennis, anything I can do, any small role I can play in trying to help get some common sense back in charge at the St. Louis County level mm-hmm. Of executive, man, it's been – Dennis goes into this knowing it's an uphill battle. It was the 1980s, late 80s, the last time we elected a Republican county executive. We've come close a couple times, but the county has really turned over to a purple, if not blue, color yeah. now. And it is an uphill battle for somebody with an R after their name. It's
even
a shame.
You know, I grew up in Chesterfield, and even we've seen I feel like I grew up thinking Chesterfield was more conservative, and we've even seen a shift there
yep.
in these communities in West County. And it's so dumbfounding to me when you have so many issues, like the city of St. Louis, for example, so many issues, and yet people keep electing the same type of person, and they keep somehow thinking there's going to be different results.
That's the definition of stupidity.
Exactly. And so please, people of St. Louis County, well, first of all, if you're conservative, get out and actually vote. But second of all, yeah, I mean, realize that if you elect, if I guess Sam Page, if he were to run again, why would you elect him again or somebody like him? That's just going to be a repeat of the problems that they're already facing in the county.
Sure seems like it, for sure. All right, coming up, bottom of the hour, Tom Ackerman's going to join us here in studio and talk about the Cardinals getting a win this weekend against a couple of wins against the Cubs this weekend. I don't know if that's going to help them in the long run or not, but it's always good to beat the Cubs. That's for sure. And we're also going to give away a pair of tickets to Styx and Kevin Cronin coming up here very shortly. Stay tuned. All right, don't be silly. Vote for Billy. Remember that? Billy Long, the former congressman from the 7th Congressional District in Missouri who ran for Senate and didn't win. He has been a a long time a supporter of Donald Trump, like from the beginning kind of supporter of Donald Trump. And because of that, I really expected him to get a pretty high ranking position in this administration. And he did. So they appointed him IRS commissioner. And it to the Democrats drug their feet, and it took forever to get him through and approved. And he got approved. He got sworn into office, and then nothing. I've been communicating with him because we've been trying to get him on the radio show, but the White House wouldn't give him permission to do media yet, and nobody could figure out why. But apparently, the background on this story is that Billy had pissed off a few people in the administration by kind of getting out ahead of them on a couple of issues. Now, he can explain this himself better when we get him on here, which he's promised me he will join us here as soon as he can. But they've removed him, and it looks like Scott Bessent is going to take over temporarily as head of the IRS while they try to find somebody to replace Billy Long. He apparently did a few things like announcing that he was going to delay the start of filing by a month, which nobody knew about yet, or at least the administration didn't know about. He was telling people to leave early on Fridays. I guess he was trying to save money or something. I don't know. But whatever it was, it didn't. Apparently he had clashed with Scott Bessent on a few things, and Bessent has a lot of
pull,
I guess, a lot of influence in the White House, and he didn't like what Long was doing. So Billy Long is out as IRS commissioner. Now, guess what? They are instead going to switch him over and make him the ambassador to Iceland. God is my witness, I didn't know we had an ambassador to Iceland.
I did not either. Do you think he's excited about that?
But I did text him and say, I'm going to plan a visit to Iceland, and I expect it'll be like a state visit when I get there, right? Like, I'll get to go to the ambassador's residence.
Wined and dined.
All of that. I don't know. But that's the story with Billy Long. People have been texting me, what's going on with Billy Long? To the best of my knowledge, that's what it is. Apparently, he had some conflict with Scott Bessent, from what I can tell, and he did not win that battle. And now he's out as IRS commissioner. And, of course, the Democrats are all like, you know how many IRS commissioners we've had since Donald Trump took off? How many people have been in charge? Well, there's a reason for that, but primarily because they fired a few people, right, who were part of the deep state and didn't need to be there, probably Lois Lerner supporters types. And his nomination was deferred for so long, they had to have somebody running the place so they could get him approved. So, yeah, there have been like four or five people in charge so far of the IRS. But it's a major bureaucracy that just kind of keeps trudging along. Everything's going to be just fine at the Internal Revenue Service.
I'm excited to hear him explain more. Well, I don't know how much he can say, but explain more of what happens, because, yeah, he said too much, and then I can see why that would bother some people, but then, yeah, the whole ambassador to Iceland thing just seems so random.
Yeah. I don't know how quickly we'll hear from him. I said, hey, we'll have you on Monday. Let's do it Monday, because I was texting him this weekend. I said, let's do it Monday. He's like, well, I can't do that just yet. So I've got to wait until, like, technically he's still over at the IRS, and then he's going to have his name submitted to be the ambassador to Iceland. And the White House, this White House, I don't know if it's Susie Wiles or whoever it is, keeps a tight lid on things. Mm-hmm. Anytime somebody's going through a nomination process, they will not allow them to talk to the media.
But he doesn't have to be confirmed as ambassador, right?
I think they do.
I thought they did. I thought there was a way around.
Maybe not.
Huckabee didn't have to get confirmed, right, for Israel?
I thought he did. Maybe not.
I don't know. There's so much stuff that's been happening over the last 7 months that it's easy to mix it up.
It's dizzying. Hey, I also saw this story yesterday that I just loved. Gina Carano has won her fight. Finally.
I know. I saw that. That's great.
They took Disney Lucasfilms fired her for several conservative comments that made headlines when she was in that the Disney Star Wars show, The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had a great role in that. And they didn't like her expressing mainline conservative views, and they just cut her off. Gina Carano is not currently employed by Lucasfilms. No plans for her to be in the future. That's all they would say about it. Then they said her social media posts denigrating people based on their cultural or religious identities are abhorrent and unacceptable. So Elon Musk said, this is bullcrap. Mm-hmm. If you want to sue them, I'll pay for it.
Which is awesome.
So Elon Musk funded her lawsuit, and she went to court, and they are settling out of court with her for, I don't know how much
they
money.
They haven't said how much, and she came out and made some comment along the lines of, it's best case scenario for both parties, I think,
yes,
is how she phrased it. But yeah, that I have not actually seen a dollar amount announced.
She sued for wrongful termination and sex discrimination, and she said, the truth will set you free, and Lucasfilm said, the Walt Disney Company is pleased to announce an agreement with Gina Carano. She was always well-respected by her directors, co-stars, and staff, and worked hard to perfect her craft while treating her colleagues with kindness and respect, and we look forward to working together with Ms. Carano in the near future.
What a change.
Her attorneys wrote that statement, not Disney.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
No. I'm sure. That was a statement released by Disney, but I'm sure it was part of the agreement.
That they had to write something
that
like that.
They had to write something like that.
They're painfully trying to put it down, like, I don't really feel this way, but I guess I'll do it. Part of the agreement.
That's great. All right. Did you cue up some music for me, Kim?
I do. I have some music.
All right.
Drew, if we can. Ready?
Hit it.
We're going. Hold on.
What?
Oh.
What is that? It's Styx. All right. We have two tickets to give away every day this week to Styx. The show's coming up at the end of the month, August 22nd, Hollywood Casino Amphitheater with Kevin Cronin. That's kind of a big deal. They got the band back together there. So if you want to go see them, be caller number 8 to 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. You win a pair of tickets to Styx. We'll give away a pair every day this week. So best of luck to you. All right, coming up, Tommy Ackerman in studio with more on the Cardinals. Maybe we'll talk about the City win this weekend, even though City won't invite people wearing MAGA hats. We'll be back in just a minute. All right, I got a friend who runs a shuttle service, and he had the honor of picking up Yadier Molina from the airport the other day and bringing him for his visit to the Cardinals over the weekend. And we got Tom Ackerman in studio right now to talk a little bit more about that. Do we have Tom's Open over there, Drew, anywhere?
I can recite it by memory.
Can you really?
Yeah.
Go ahead. We'll just make it up as we go.
Baseball is not a hard sport.
See, there you go. We need an expert like Tom Ackerman in here for sure. So having Molina in town was a lot of fun this weekend.
It was great to have Yachty here. You know, Friday, Saturday, you could tell Friday it really injected some life into the clubhouse and into the dugout. You could just hear it come out over the TV to the crowd, a great vibe on TV. It got people so stirred up that Adam Wainwright tweeted the following on Saturday before the Saturday game. So this is after Friday, in which they won 5-0 and looked phenomenal doing it. He said, I'm looking at the schedule. I'm calling it now. The Cardinals shock everybody and are playing for a wild card spot on the last series of the season against the Cubs.
Wow.
Cubs, Cards, last 3 days of the regular season at Wrigley could be wild.
Aren't they seven games back?
I don't see that happening. I mean, I want to be optimistic, but I don't see it happening.
Oh, listen to these two. Okay.
As if all I right. know much, as if I have any knowledge to be able
this
to
is Adam
that
Wainwright.
No,
it's
I know.
Hard sport.
Here I am. Yeah. I, Adam
this is
Wainwright
Adam Wainwright
has,
we're
I know,
talking
I know.
About. I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it. This is Adam we're talking about.
I clearly know more than him about baseball. So.
They are, how far out do you think they are in the wild card?
I thought they were like.
You said
I thought
seven.
They were four,
five?
Well,
five?
I thought they were 4.5 games back.
You're close. They're 3.5 out.
3.5 out now.
Of a wild card spot in the National League. Now, I would tend to agree with the two of you. I think it's far-fetched that they could make a playoff spot. But what Wainwright is looking at is the schedule, and he's not wrong. So when you look at the schedule a little closer, and you see what's coming. So they just took 2 out of 3 from the Cubs after taking 2 out of 3 at Dodger Stadium. Mm-hmm. And the key was that their bullpen kind of picked up after the trade deadline. even though they lost Helsley and Matz and Maton, three veteran pitchers in the big leagues. Helsley blew a save yesterday for the Mets. Well, that's another story. But they win the series against the Cubs. Cubs offense looks terrible. Cardinals pitching took advantage yesterday. Even though the Cubs scored nine on Saturday, the Cardinals come right back at them, and they win a terrific game yesterday, 3-2. The rest of the schedule is the following. The Rockies are here for the next three. They've only won 30 games all year. They're 30-87. Although the Cardinals lost a series in Denver the last time they played them, so they got to pick it back up.
Shut us out, right?
The last game they did, yeah.
I thought so.
The Yankees, this weekend at Busch Stadium, it'll be packed and rocking, and the Yankees look bad. The Marlins and Rays on the road after that. Then you play the Pirates for four. And then the team that you would be chasing right now for a wild card spot, the Reds, to wrap up August. And you play the Reds three more times in September. Also playing the Cardinals in September are the A's and the Giants at home, two teams from the Bay Area that are not doing very well. The Mariners are, and you'll have to go to Seattle for a tough series. And you have to play Milwaukee six more times. Milwaukee's the best team in baseball right now. But by the time you play Milwaukee, September 19th, 20th, and 21st, they may have that division wrapped up. They're up six right now on the Cubs. So the point Adam's making is the schedule is here in August, possible that you could be playing meaningful baseball in September. We'll see when we believe it. Personally, I'm not going to go down that road. I told you that back in April. I don't want to ever go down that road. I just want to enjoy the season. I don't want to start thinking that they're going to make the playoffs, because then I'm going to get stressed out and upset when they don't. This is a young team trying to figure it out. I mean, they have Sonny Gray and Wilson Contreras and a few other veterans. Otherwise, it's a bunch of untested players trying to make it big in the big leagues. And yesterday, Gorman makes an error, and the Cubs take advantage with a two-run homer, and then he's the one who comes through with the game-winning hit for them. So it was a really nice effort by the Cardinals. They beat the Cubs 2 out of 3. They sent a lot of Cubs fans home unhappy, and they got a nice win yesterday. So they're in a nice position right now.
You did not go where I thought you were going to go with that Waino tweet, because I hadn't seen it, but I thought it was going to be something about Yadier Molina taking over as manager.
There's no way he would say that. Of course, everyone's going to say, but who's the one who put Yadi in the dugout? Ollie. I mean, Ollie was the one who put Yadi in the dugout. Why would the manager put a guy in the dugout to take his job? You know, and also, why would he feel insecure about it anyway? I mean, he should be in a really good spot. This isn't anything on Marmol. If anything, Marmol's actually overachieved, in my opinion. I think this team is probably what they, you know, a 500 or less team. It's not a team with a lot of talent. They made one free agent signing in the offseason, Maton, and they just traded away their top three relievers, yet they just took the Dodgers and the Cubs. Got to give a little credit to Marmol there. I think that Molina is a great baseball legend in this town, and he very well could be managing in the big leagues someday. And sure, there will be some people that want him to take the job over Marmol, but Marmol was the one who put him in there.
You think he'll come back at all for any other series?
There was talk about him coming back.
No, I mean, this. Yeah. Here's
no,
how this.
Just like in the capacity that he just did, where he's in the dugout and he's kind of the almost like a coach.
Yeah, well, he was a special advisor to John Mozeliak at the start of last year and didn't come one time. Yeah. So, you know, that tells you a couple of things there. It also tells you the relationship that Marmol has with him is very good, and I think he likes Ollie a lot. So the way it went down was Ollie knew that he was going to be in town. This was like 3 months ago that he knew this weekend Yadi was going to be in town for something. So he reached out and said, hey, when you're in town for that Cubs series, I'd love to see you, and I know the guys would like to see you. And so they talked about it, and Yadi came back to him and said, you know, I would like to see the guys. I'd like to come around and see them. And they sort of chatted, and then it got to the point where Ollie said, you know what, why don't you just sit in the dugout with me and hang out for a couple games? And Yadi said, I'll do that. So they put the uniform on, and you could tell he was involved. I mean, he was telling guys, you know, what was going on in the run game out there. He was looking at the pitchers, looking at different things out on the field. I mean, he's brilliant. So it was nice. They got the shutout win. Of course, everybody's like, see? You know, the anti-Marmol people are like, see? They won 5-0. Yachty's in there. That's why. Well, the next day, Yachty was in there, and they got beat 9-1. So is that – Yachty doesn't have anything to do with that? Of course he doesn't. He doesn't have anything to do with either. It's just the fact that he's there is very exciting and a lot of fun to have him around.
Yeah. You got to go?
No.
You doing all right?
I never have to go on these – our show's over at 8.
I pay very little attention to the NFL. I really do. But the highlight that caught my attention this weekend from the preseason was Deion Sanders' son, Shadur, who ended up starting for the Browns because of injuries. He was supposed to be competing for like the third-string quarterback position. And the kid actually did okay. I mean, he won the game for him, scored 2 touchdowns, I think, and had a decent passer rating. Do you think he was undersold in the draft?
No, I think that a lot of people didn't believe that he could do very much, maybe personality-wise. That could have been a problem. You know, I don't know that anybody doubts the kid has a nice arm and everything, but,
yeah.
You know, is he the right fit? I mean, NFL team, and you've got to show work ethic, and perhaps there were some people that thought that he couldn't fill that role, but yeah, I saw he had a nice game yesterday. And I remember, it is the NFL preseason. These
right.
defenses, they're not showing you anything. This is very vanilla defense. You know, they're not going to give away what they do in certain situations. But still, I mean, I saw him make a nice throw on a receiver running to the left side of the end zone and hit him in stride. He's a nice quarterback. I mean, he's a good college quarterback. And I really like his dad. I mean, I've always liked Deion. Deion just went through a very difficult offseason. Bladder cancer.
His
bladder removed. And is doing well, beat cancer. So, yeah, no, I always root for, you know, I mean, I'd root for Sanders. I always root for guys who are undersold, as you said, maybe, and try to make it big. But, you know, that's the NFL is unforgiving, man. They don't care what you did before. NFL, this is the top of the line.
If you can win, they're going to play you.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But, yeah, so good weekend for the Cardinals. Very excited to see what happens tonight for the next three and see if Waino comes. Remember, Waino back in 2011 said when they were 10.5 out, don't count them out just yet. Made this big speech at an event. I was there. I was holding the microphone when he said it. They're 10.5 out. He said, how many more do they have against the Brewers? 6 games? He said, well, if they win all 6, they're 4.5 out. And I wouldn't want to play the Cardinals in September if they're 4.5 out, right? And the crowd's like, right. And then everyone's like, yeah, okay. And then what happened? They did.
Yeah,
they came back. They went on to the World Series now and won it. Now, this team is – that team had some big time, you know, best player I've ever seen, best hitter I've ever seen in Albert Pujols. But you just never know. And Wainwright has these ways of making things happen. So who knows? We'll see.
Tommy, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a minute. No, no, no. We're not giving away more tickets to Styx. But we just want to congratulate Danette, who won the 2 tickets to the Styx concert coming up on, I think, August 22nd at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. We will, of course, give away more tickets later this week. A pair every day this week, and maybe you can join Danette out there and see the this great band. So I told Drew I had to tell this story on him. So Drew's a young man, so I'm going to say that up front. I said, Drew, can we cue up some Styx music for the Styx giveaway? And he types into the computer and he goes, we don't have any. And I'm like, we don't have any Styx music we can play? Are you kidding me? I know there's got to be some in there. So Kim found it and played it from her computer. And then Drew had to admit to me that he was spelled it S-T-I-C-K-S because he didn't know it. It was S-T-Y-S-T-Y-X. And I'm like, Drew, how old are you, dude? How did you not know how to spell Styx?
Oh, man, how would I know?
how would you know?
I think I know from Mark. I don't know. Maybe I probably knew before. I definitely knew of Styx, and I've heard the songs.
Yes.
And I just know. But again, I'm like, did I know before, or do I know since working with you? I don't know.
You know. You're not sure if you knew either?
No, I think I would have known because I've seen the band name before. I mean, now
you know
I
for
the last
you know
2 years, I definitely knew.
You know why she knew? Because she got an email that said, we're giving away Styx tickets.
That is true. I heard Come Sail Away before, but I just
Come
didn't know.
Sail Away.
Yeah,
you
didn't know
who
the band was.
Definitely,
okay.
Definitely heard
all
that
right.
song.
All right, well, that's going to be a good show, I'm sure. All right, we got a few minutes left here. I want to play this bite for you because this is an interesting conversation that's going to be taking place this week, and that's on drug price. You remember the president signed an EO insisting that drug companies lower their prices to whatever they're charging our foreign competitors. And a lot of people, including Kim Strassel, who's a pretty good reporter, and this Jason Riley pointed out that this could have a negative blowback on consumers in America, because the pharmaceutical industries might just move their R&D overseas. I warned you about this, and I just wanted to play this. Listen to this.
And it's true that these drug manufacturers initially get the patent protection that allows them to recoup all the R&D they've done to develop
for a limited period
drugs,
of time.
But it's only for a limited period of time. And most of the prescribed drugs in this country are generics. Something like 90% of them are generics. And Americans pay less for those generics than people in other countries pay. And so what this tells me is that market competition, particularly when the drug gets to that generic phase, drives down prices more than price controls would ever do, without driving away innovators, without these drugs don't need to be developed in America. And that's the other problem with this approach that Trump wants to take. These companies could move their operations somewhere else. China would take them. Other places would take them, where they could recoup their R&D in a way that he doesn't want them to be able to do so here. And that would be bad for this country.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Other companies set price controls. Price controls are dangerous. I understand wanting to lower drug prices, but there's a reason we have the best healthcare system in the world and the best drugs, and that's because we have the best innovation here, because they spend so much money on R&D, and we got to be really careful about going too far with that, for sure. All right, I just wanted to play. I thought that was an interesting take, and I wanted people to understand that that discussion is going to be coming up more and more as he tries to force the hand of these big pharma companies. And I know they make a lot of money on some drugs, but they don't make nearly as much on others. Just a point in hand. All right, coming up at 9, the president's holding a news conference on crime in Washington, D.C. Brian Kilmeade is going to be all over that right here on 97.1 FM Talk. A little later in the day, Annie Fry will be in at noon, and then Mark Reardon at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Have yourselves a great Monday. It's good to be back. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.